No whiskey. That's right.
Say the word.
Bring it over.
Your wife is in?
You need a recharge. Okay. Are you all comfortable? Well, relax. It's going to take a while. That's all you have to say. Okay, I'm going to do this. I want you to do this one. This one. This one. This one. You really have to sit down. It ain't going to work, Stanley. I want you to sit down. Can you, like, find seats, guys?
More chairs over here, guys. Anyone that doesn't have a chair can come take them from Memphis.
Like, sit. Wait, there's all that place over there.
It's basically show that people are on each other.
That's where you fall asleep. I don't know. I don't know. Good morning. Sit down.
Rebbe's saying we shouldn't be writing. Is
Rebbe
saying we shouldn't be writing?
I didn't say anything. I just said, I don't think you lose anything by not having it. Unless you feel you need, like, a lecture written in your notebook. If that's what you feel you need, that, you know, don't write it and you lose it. But if some people don't need that, I personally don't. Write what you want.
Thank you.
Just believe in God. You know, the rest is okay with me, you know. It's very important to you. Okay, hi. Why don't you sit down? Abram, McCall, Jack, mention it. I have a problem. My mother taught me never to show my back to people. Okay, shine. Okay. Gityamtif. It's Leil Shana Rabba. And we know I see Yayin Yidrashun, the Yerushalmi says Yem Tkiya and Yem Rava. It's supposed to be twice a year where we somehow our Dairish HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yom Tekiya and Yom HaRava, I would imagine Yom Tekiya, people usually know what it means. And Yom HaRava is tonight, or tomorrow. It's a Yom Din, it's a Yom of Drishas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which usually means and contains the necessity of some kind of a self-assessment. So I feel a bit awkward talking to them about what Sukkot was supposed to look like. But you know, guys, you know, no pain, no gain. You know, there's a old, it's written in Svarim that what you can gain with the Simcha, Simchas Torah and Sukkot is unbelievable. It's much more than you gain, so to speak, with all the kvetching and crying of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So, you know, once I ask, why kvetch? Why don't you just go straight to the sukkahs and get it done with? We can be happy. It's a davar pashut. Without the kvetching and the crying of Rosh Hashanah, the happiness of sukkahs would be quite empty and meaningless. So I guess I want to talk a little bit of what sukkahs was supposed to be like. And hopefully we still have another day. And maybe this will meaningful enough, it'll take us further. So if you don't mind, I do want to... No, I usually do teach on the Shana Rabba. I haven't been there to Israel for 6 years, so this is like a treat, so thanks. Now I don't have to mess up my living room, so you're doing me a favor.
You're invited for next year. Don't make any reservations.
Okay, but let's take it from here. Okay, the pasuk says in Tehillim, as we know in Perek, I involve... I don't even know what I have here. Have a Gemara's...
Let's
see
if you can
ask.
Okay,
I don't have it. So we know the Gemara says it, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, and I involve the famous Pasuk that many people talk about in Sukkot, is Vahi B'Sholem Sukkah, Moinaisai B'Tzion, so to speak, that his abode, his Sukkah, which most of the Rishonim explain means the Beis HaMikdash, is B'Sholem, is in Yerushalayim, Moinaisai B'Tzion, his Ma'on, his abode, his dwelling place, was in Tzion, which is once again another variant of Yerushalayim. This is not the place now to elaborate on this. So this is the pasuk Vayhi B'Sholem Sukkah Moinaisai B'Tzion. We know that the Hillel Glover, the big Talmud of the Gra, which wrote the book Kol HaTorah, brings down, I think in the first chapter already, the Pirush of the Gra, where the Gra says Vayhi B'Sholem Sukkah is somehow a reference to Sukkahs. Moinaisai B'Tzion is the idea of sitting in Eretz Yisroel. And there he elaborates on somehow the equation between the idea of sitting in Eretz Yisroel, Yishuv Eretz Yisroel, which Baruch Hashem, you people are zeichen out to be in Eretz Yisroel and not in the Golus. I think people have to still learn how to appreciate that. And the fact that you're also here in Sukkot, so obviously the Grod elaborates. I want to talk about this connection between Sholem Sukkai Umreinoisai B'Tzion. The fact is, though, as we know, the Dover Pashut is, as explained in many a place, I mean, there's a Sprachwort, as they say, of Rebun of Shischa, Shem Shmuel brings it down, I think in Sispchelik HaMayidim, that there are two mitzvahs which are somehow all-encompassing experiences. They're not a prat, they don't deal with a certain one aspect or another aspect, that they totally encompass your whole self. It's everything you do is there and is defined by it, and there's obviously yeshiva sukkah. I mean, sleeping is a mitzvah. Very nice. Would you believe it? The old Achrayna Shetayra, how can you carry mitzvahs when you're asleep? Since Kinkash would let it go. But the Kviyas Makayim is sukkah, and Eretz Yisroel, obviously, the Kviyas Makayim in Eretz Yisroel is an all-encompassing mitzvah. The living in Eretz Yisroel, I mean, just any sort of even commerce or anything of that sort is a tzuris, a mitzvah of yeshivas Eretz Yisroel, which is obviously is a mitzvah. So this idea of the all-encompassing mitzvah is something I do want to deal with a bit at the moment. First, I'd also like to try to understand, though, at the end of the day, since Pshutai Shel Mikra is talking about the Mikdash of Yehi B'Shalim Sukkah Monais of Etzion, is talking about Mikdash, one obviously feels that he has to elaborate a bit on the correlation between the idea of sukkah and that idea of mikdash. Okay, now how do they really jive, as we would put it? It is well known, the Bir HaGra in Shir HaShirim, in Perik Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, on the Pasuk of Mashcheni Achrecha Narutza, Avianu Merachadov, Nagir V'Nisvucha Bach, where the Gra explains that the different psukim, starting from Shir HaShirim, Perik Pasuk Aleph, through Pasuk Dalet, relate to the different dargis of how Kadosh Baruch Hu became close to Klal Yisrael, correlating obviously with the different Yomim Tovim. And he describes Shir HaShirim, Asher L'Shloimai. The opening stage is that idea of Shira being expression of love, closeness, which is obviously the inference to Pesach, as the Pasuk says, Ashir Yelachem Lahem Kaveh Lizkad Ishchag. Once again, I'm not going to elaborate on each prat. The beer of the Grun Shira Shirim is open for everybody to see. The special marker of Hallel is from Pesach Ki Yadua, Hallel B'Lel Pesach. Ashir Yelachem Kaveh Lizkad Ishchag is the famous Gemara, which discusses this at length. This is Pesach. Then he goes and says, Yishakenim and Shikas Piyu Kitevim Dedechem Ayayim, which is obviously the experience of Matan Torah. Once again, something which has to be thought about, that Matan Torah was not perceived as something that you experienced through your mind or through your ears. Rather, it was something very intimate. It was a kiss. I mean, the Nevuah of Moshe is not described as Per El Ozen Adaber Elav, but rather Per El Per Adaber Bo. If I'm not mistaken, Per El Per Adaber Bo does not mean speaking in the way you and me speak. I do not speak to your mouth, I speak to your ear. I don't speak in you, I don't infuse things in you, I speak to you, and you are internalized to the extent that you can or will or want. Per bo is an allusion to something very intimate, what we call your experience. It's an experiential reality similar to a kiss. Per per daber bo, this is Yishakeni Minshikas Piyu Kitevim Didecha Miyai. Maybe we'll get this a little later, but this is obviously the Nevuas Moshe, which we know, at least in the two Dibris Rishonos, it seems to be from the Ran, that basically Klal Yisrael was Zeche to a Nevuas, similar to Nevuas Moshe, Kim Nevuas, and the Ran and the Drashos. And this is Yishakeinu Mishikas Piyu Matan Teir, Ki Teivim Dedecha Meyai. And then it says, the Reach Shmonecha Teivim Shemen Turek Shemech Alkein Ala Moshe Evucha. Suddenly we have a good smell which draws people to us. This is the Ashuras of Shechina. Through the Mishkan and the Migdash, we now become an entity which the Gilu Shechina is Mavura and Golu La'in the Kolami. Therefore, Kalken Alamosa Evucha, he describes how the nations suddenly come and want to come flock towards us. Ki Basi based Tfila Yikare L'Kolami. And then the ultimate goal is Haviani Amelech Adov Nagil of Anisruch Hamashcheni Achrech and Arutz Avein Amelech Adov Nagil of Anisruch Bach. This is Bias Eretz Yisrael coming to the personal house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is obviously, we says, this is really the intimate relationship, not of Alamosa Avucha, not of the nations flocking to us, but our own private home with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael. This is the Peril Tishmini Yatzeres. This is what the Gra discusses. Just want to point out how this works. In that pirush over there, the Agur does elaborate at each stage. When he comes in, he discusses the idea of how Sukkos is inferred to into the ideas of L'reach Shmonecha Tovim Shem Maturach Shemecha Alken Alamos Oivucha. Is there where the famous Agur is, where he describes why is it that Sukkos is in Tesma B'Tishrei? And somehow connected to a groin, a deres and kisisa, to try to understand this a bit better. What basically happened was that we left Mitzrayim with an anane hakavod, a certain gilui shechina, which according to the Gra, the only people that saw it were the Nevi'im. Not kol ha'olam kuloi, stammer, not even kol am Yisrael. And it was only l'sha'ah. It was only the Shah, according to the Gra in Adair Salyo and Parashat Kesisa, it was only until after Kriyas Yamsuf. And then there was Nu and Anam came, which was the Anan al-Ahar, which is Matan Torah, a big Gilui Shechina once again for all of Klal Yisrael, because they were all Bedargas Nevi'im. And this Anan al-Ahar stayed. But you know what, 39 days later, we two-timed God. That's pretty bad. I mean, you were barely out of the chuppah and you already found yourself a boyfriend called a cow. A behemoth. This is your Egel Azov. So, unbelievable. And then we know 40 days later, Spiros Haluchas, we're talking about Shivas and Batamas. The Avoidu actually was on Shivas and Batamas. The being in the Egel was, we know, was the day before. And Shivas Sebetamas was the Avedis Avedis Zor. The Gemara really says it was Avedis Zor. I know there are many Pirushim which give different Havanas, but the Maishan, the Gemara calls it Avedis Zor. The Gemara says, the Gemara asks the question, how could it be that the Goyim of Eretz Yisrael can make a tree of an Asherah? How can they ask for something which is not theirs? Eretz Yisrael didn't belong to them. How could they make an Asherah into a tree of Avedis Zor? The Gemara says, Midepalcha La'egel, Shmamele Denichlu. Since they worshipped the ego, it seems to me they were into paganism, therefore they didn't care if other goyim did the same thing. So often a gemar. So with the greatest respect to the bechinas of Avodah Zarah, whatever we're going to find, in din sigvin Avodah Zarah. Midapalcha la'ego, shmamei l'nichlu, can you imagine doing that within 39 to 40th day after Matan Torah? Basically the honor left. And so to speak, there was no honor for us. Once again, Gustalko Anani Akavat. And Moshe Rabbeinu went up there and went batting for us. And we know that Chatchila Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I won't wipe you out, but I want you to know that I'm not going with you. I'm going to send an angel. Matatran is brought down in Ramban. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, what's the how are you going to be expressed in this angel? Whatever that means doesn't matter at the moment. And God gives him a certain answer. And there's a giver, the Yud Gimel Midrash Rachamim. Slowly but surely, Moshe says, you know what? If you don't come with us, I ain't going. He says, okay, you know, forget the angel. I'm showing. And then Moshe says, you know something? That ain't enough. I want more than what we had. He says, you know, I want something special. The guy says, okay. And from now on, I'm going to give you Ashras Shechina forever, and everyone's going to see it. I'm going to explain it in 2 minutes, but this is a groy in Aderes Eliyo and Kisiso. And that the Chazoros Anane HaKaved that we're talking about. And when did this happen? The groy says, all this is written, you look up the Aderes Eliyo and Kisiso and the groy here in Shir HaShirim. This happened basically on Yom Kippur, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Solachti Kidvarecha, and on Yud Aleph he came down, Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, he commanded on the Mishkan, Hikra Sa'am commanded on the Mishkan, Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, the Jews donated, by Boker, they came and they bought the Davos, and Yudal the Chachmei Leif took the Truma, and on Tesvav they started building. That's when the Anane HaKavod came back. So the reason that we celebrate Sukkot and Tesvav B'Tishrei, because that was the day when God really said, you know what, yeah, you're getting, not only will you not lose because of the eagle, you're getting a double dose. And that's what Sukkot is really all about. That's why we celebrate Sukkot, because HaChazor HaNani HaKavod, which are really a double dose, much more than we had before. Before it was only L'Shoah and only L'Neviim, and now it was a role called Am HaAretz, K'Shem HaShem Nikra Alecha. Now Gilui Shechina was obvious, Onan Al HaHar and Onan Al HaOyel. Those who learn Ramban know the Psicha to Shmais or the Psicha to Parshas Truma. But the Ramban explains that the Mishkan is a mobile Sinai unit, where basically the Onan is on the Mishkan with us, and we're constantly in connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Luchos, through Nevuah, so on and so forth. This is what Sukkot really is. So it's very clear that, let me take it somewhere else. You say in Yom Tov Atav V'Chatana Mikol HaAmim, after Yisonu V'Tzisa Banu, V'Ramtan V'Kol HaShem Ki Yishtonu Mitzisecha. In the Siddur HaGrah, with the Pirshur of Yitzhak Malchin of Yisiach Yitzchak, he has a very beautiful interpretation of this tefillah. He points out that there are different stages in the relationship. First of all, you choose. You know, when you choose between things, it's not because that's very special, but it's better, because it's the best fish in the pond. You learn in life, my dear friends, you don't look for what doesn't exist. You choose between the fish and the pond, and then the fish in the pond, this is the most appropriate fish for me, and that's what I take. And the mashal, the nimshal, you do the called Misha, anybody. Right, Josh? You know what I mean? You don't look for salmon if there's only trout there. That's what this trout, figure out the best trout. You don't go for salmon. Okay. So that's a davar pashut. So Bechira, you choose what's best. Since it was when God chose the Jews in Egypt, Halolo Evdavei Dezorah, Halolo Evdavei Dezorah. They're a bunch of pagans. The Chazal described them when God took the Jews out of Egypt. He took them like Uba Bimei Behema. The Jews were like a fetus in the womb of a cow. It means to say we were totally engrossed, assimilated in pagan Egyptian culture. And if you know how Yecheskel describes Egyptian culture, they weren't exactly very, very, very holy people. Zirma Susum, Zirmasum, Vichulu. I mean, they were pretty gross. So look at the Jews coming out. They were pretty gross. And the angel said, Allah life that we deserve, Allah life we deserve. But you know what? They were better than the others. So Atav Chaitanu Mikol HaAm is a choice. Doesn't say you were beautiful and special. You were chosen. You were better than the Egyptians. That's Pesach. But then there's a next stage in the relationship, You know, as you learn in life, after you chose, then you find the true, real common denominator. And you find the merging of values and ideas and feelings. And that's when real love comes in. I don't mean the infatuation, which makes you go brain dead to pop the question. The knee-buckling experiences, they're cute, but that leaves after, you know, it's nice. But that's it. I mean, real profound love is where you're not brain dead or ADD, but rather, you know, where you actually are aware, but there's a profound feeling which cements the relationship. One would say you sleep enough on one pillow, your minds merge. Okay? So that's what we're talking about, and that's a haftai sanu. And that's Matan Torah. Yishakenu Mishikas Piyuk Yitavim Dedech Meyayim doesn't sound very sterile. That's a haftai sanu. The Gemara says in Shabbos, as we know, that Rava was learning, and he like squashed his finger, and it was bleeding. So a tzidaiki looks at him and says, I'm abzizat, and you guys are crazy. The kadmisu put naichu le'adnaichu, you said nasa mishu before you listen to what he had to say. It's the same mshigas of doing that is you sitting there learning and not thinking about your bleeding finger. You're mad. You're obsessed people. You know, I had an uncle like this, Mendel is chayin levracha. I mean, he was a regular, normal human being, but as soon as he opened the Gemara, I mean, he used to play games. He used to, like, drum in the room. He didn't hear. He didn't hear. Even the Gemara, like, he flew somewhere else, you know, a silver spaceship. He just wasn't here. So that was Matan Torah. Matan Torah, we were, like, spaced out. So the Gemara says that Rava answered him, yeah, I know the Sagina B'Shlei Musa. Rashi says, Kederecha Oisei Me'ava. You know, when you're a little obsessed and you're a little this, you know, whatever's moving there, so you say Nasa before Nishma. Makes sense. If Matan Torah was an act of Oisei Me'ava, Mitzad Kol Yisrael, the Chadavar Pasha, because of Oisei Me'ava, Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a haftarah, son. You know what? It's very nice. But in life, infatuations and love doesn't mean you really want the person. It means you went brain dead and you connected. And then there's another stage in the relationship. I hate to say when it really happens. It's when the chips are down. And when things aren't perfect anymore. And all of a sudden you're not in the rose garden that they promised you. And sometimes there's tension. And people make mistakes. And people make big mistakes. And then you learn that the relationship has very deep depth. And you look for that depth and where it's real. And at that level, those mistakes don't mean anything. That's Ritsui. In other words, you know, just I love you, I'm sorry, that's meaningless, guys. I'm sorry is a cheap word. We say it often, but you start learning to say it. Okay? The residue of the pain of the mistake is still there. You know when that residue is not there? It's when you find a place where your relationship has depth, where that aberration is meaningless. It's like, do you ever get angry at somebody and scream, and after like a day you thought you feel very ashamed that you were stupid to react that way for something which is really meaningless, which at the time was magnified like an elephant, and actually it's a mouse. And the worst thing is when the guy comes 2 or 3 days later and says, I'm sorry I made you angry, now you really want to kill him because he reminded you how stupid you were. Did you ever have that feeling? Well, this is what it's like. Yichab. After the mistake, and when you do find a place where that relationship is real and that mistake is really forgivable, it's really cleanable, because it's an aberration. It's not essentially us. That's when you really found that you really want that person. And that's what Tzitza Banu. And that's Sukkos. The Ritzui post-Egel is what Sukkos is. It's finding the true niche, that step in the mountain where you can rest, No joke, mountain climbing, like you look for what are they called again? What? Summit. A small little plateau. That's a plateau is a point thing.
Summit.
What? Like a ledge. You find a ledge where you can rest. You found your place. And that's what she's about. When you talk, when veneer, you know, Kapara Savinus is called Ritsui. Yaakov, when we met Esav, says there should be Ritsui. Ritsui, he brings the part, Akein Reisi Panecha Kireis Panei Elkim V'Tetzeni. If you're willing to live with me now, after all that, okay, that means we're together. So the Ritsui, when we talk with Tzisa Banu, we're talking Ed Yusukas. This is obviously understood, if I may continue, the end of the Tefillah when it says, Rimam Tonu Mekol HaLashonis, which is obviously parallel to the Yahavta Yisano of Pitzias Mitzrayim. We had a national status. We were better than other nations. Ultimately, Kitshana B'mitzvei Sacha, which is once again a parallel to the Yahavta, of the Yahavta Yisano of Shavuos, Kedushas HaMitzvahs. And finally, in Sukkot, the Ritzui was Kiravtanu Malkeinu LaVeidasecha V'shimcha HaGadol HaKadosh Shaleinu Karasa. This is obviously Achzoras Anani HaKavod, and that based on Migdash. So it's very clear that although the Gra does make this allusion to the connection between Sukkah and Eretz Yisrael, one must look for the secret of Sukkah in the concept of Anani HaKavod, in the concept of based on Migdash. And what does that mean to us today? I say this because it is a major problem. It is no joke. I wonder many a time. You know, I speak about that a lot about this with my students, how I don't really miss the Beis HaMikdash. I probably don't sound orthodox. I am. But I'm really not crying too much about barefoot priests skirted, slitting throats of goats and sprinkling blood on altars. I'm not really into the Oriental nasal Levian music. I prefer others. You know, I'm more into the German. You know, just the thought of having to cram with a few million people in the old city on Pesach and eating some lamb, I mean, it's abhorrent. Think of it. The sewage is going to block up. Now, it's going to be terrible here. And you want this? I guess I do. So at the moment, obviously, we're going to have to go through a cultural metamorphosis to really get into this. There's no question about it. There's no question we're going to need a cultural metamorphosis to be able to totally connect this idea. At the moment, animal sacrifices, you know, there was a guy once in yeshiva, and he was davening loud, and he was saying, Hashiva, Shavtenu, Kfar, Yishayna. I couldn't handle it. So after davening, I pat him on the back. He says, you know what that means? That means Malchus. It may be your back. That means Abramisa's Bezen. Do you want a lead milkshake? You're interested? You sure you want this? Yeah, steal it. And you get stoned with stones, not with the other stuff. That's what you want? Is that what you're interested in? So what are you screaming that says Shiva Shabdain for? You really mean it? Yadim Sri Bainam Shisaina Shekirhu, why are you saying this? At least speak talk softly. So then we had a long conversation on how to relate to this. But it's a serious issue, isn't it? Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want liars. Anshik Tessa Gdaila stopped saying Akela Gadla Gibeva Anaira because they couldn't handle it after the Churban the Nevi'im couldn't. Until Anshik Tessa Gdaila found a new way of understanding it and relating to it, then they reinstituted Akela Gadla Gibeva Anaira, so from the Gemara. Yaidim is Rebainam Kisay Neshekeru. So how could you say during a Churban Gadol Gibeva Anaira until Anshik Tessa Gdaila found a way of saying it? Stomach, we have to use the Eitz of Chaim Volozhin that when you damage Shemana Esri, you have to be Amechav, Nardas, Anshik Nesnek Doyla, and whatever they say goes. It's like Afkin Rabban, called the Mekanish, and Dutch Rabban Kim Gadish. Whatever they say goes, you know what I mean? Ich Vestish, what I'm doing. I'm giving you a ring. What it means, the rabbis decide. So, you know what I mean? Mestomach's over here too. It's a problem, isn't it? So in the Migdash, we have to find a Migdash, obviously, at any stage, which is contemporary to us, which we can relate to. Whenever I think of Sukkot, I think of Ananya, but holy clouds, it sounds cool. But I mean, big, come on! Like, hello? The holy clouds. Sounds good. Sounds very nice. Yeah. Tachlis. Vasid Samir. You know what I mean? Very nice. Would you want to be surrounded by clouds? Foggy. Like, what's the holy cloud stuff? What are you connecting to? I don't know. I'm not thinking. At least I know Sukkot Mamish. Sounds good. Get myself a nice shack with some Christmas decorations. You know what I mean? They figure that they think it really should be during the winter. You know, we want Mamish Machmer over there, like the Pshat in the Tour. You know what I mean? So maybe should make it in December. But whatever. You have to find a tzura to connect to Ananya. It should mean something to you. That's zikr, the avoid of Sukkot. What is Ananya? What is this Migdash thing to you? I have a hard time dealing with in Tisha B'Av. What is this Migdash thing to you? Unless you guys are interested in skirted priests, slitting throats of goats, that's okay with me. Me, I'd go veggie. What does it mean? So what we usually do is, right, I don't really mean kerbanos, we mean the bechina of kerbanos. It's going to be goats. Okay? It's a bechina of minish.
The goat, it's not
going to
be a bechina.
No, it's a goat. You know, and he is barefoot and wearing a skirt. Would you imagine walking to Katie White a skirt? You know what I mean? They're going to walk around like these Greek guys in the old city here with the incense, you know? It's going to... Just the thought of it gets me it gets me nervous. So what do we do now? So obviously I can't culturally take in the whole Migdash, at least not here. And obviously I think it's very subjective, and each person has to find his way of connecting to this. And it's very clear that Umallah Orj Das Hashem is going to mean that enormous cultural metamorphosis which will allow us to culturally connect to this whole thing and be unbelievably comfortable with it and really want it in an unbelievable way. Personally, when I say a Shiva Shiftin for a Shaina, I'm praying for that cultural metamorphosis which really, I really want this. You know what I mean? I really want to want it. At the moment, I want to want it. Or maybe I wish to will to want to desire to want it. At whatever level it is, I want something to want, to want, to want. But that's what it really means. You got to go back a few steps. There's no way that you're saying, I want this. I do not want Malchus Arboin. Does anybody in this room want to see Malchus Arboin? If yes, you need a doctor. What's the name of the guy you have? Huffhauser? What's his name? You need him. Okay? Or you're a liar. One of the two. It's a shayla amuka. What's the base of Migdash? What's this whole Sukkot? If it's Ananya covered, what does it mean? What is it for us? The idea of a Sukkot, as we know, the ikedim of Sukkot is teshuv kein taduru. It's a halach of kviya. Here I'm going to say something, hopefully with Ramazim. The ikedim mitzvah Sukkot is the kviya sadiurim. It's obviously why you're making the mitzvah b'sheina, and for b'chizvinuch kasha. Yeah, the ikim mitzvah is kviyas hadiyurim. The kemvur lamasha and the rach and daf tezayin. I think it is. Where the rach says that the mitzvah is when we learn tesvav b'chagam matzos. He said the mitzvah is not a chila. Just over there, the mitzvah yom is a chila. Is chayva. Here, the mitzvah of yeshiva ke'en dira a yedei achila b'sukkah is a chayva. That's the famous rach. We know major enough kaminis la'alacha. This is not the place. The big rod. How big is the shir? I can leave that for people that ought to read. That's simple. So the mitzvah is a dira. When I think about the idea of they submit the sukkah in Eretz Yisrael, the getter of a dira, what comes to mind is a gemara in Yevamos. Very famous gemara in Yevamos. Where the gemara says in Yevamos, Daf Samach Gimel, there's a very interesting gemara. It's So the Gemara in Samach Gimel Amid Aleph. Oh goodness, I'm supposed to see this. On one hand, the Gemara says, "Rabbi Amar, Rabbi Lazar, Kal Adam Sheilei Karka Einei Adam." When I was a kid, wow, this goes back in the 60s, there was a book, came into a movie, sorry to say, okay, excuse the expression, it was called Dudy Kravitz. This is way back then, it must be like 65, whatever it was. And the story was about this kid from Montreal, that he grew up in the Jewish ghetto of Montreal, and I don't know, wherever that is over there, you know, definitely wasn't in Côte Saint-Luc. And he had this grandfather told him, Duddy, a man without land is not a man. So he was obsessed of buying real estate and trying to open up a casino. No, he was eating real estate. Now, interesting, the idea is very Jewish. Amar Rabbi Lazar, for Adam Shein Lekarka Ein Adam, Nishke Mensch. And what does that mean? Ein Adam. Now, Adam is a dog and nala b'yoser. And call Adam Shein Lekarka Ein Adam. And the funny thing is, the Gemara immediately says, after the name of Rabbi Lazar. Here, I can't see these small Gemaras, it's terrible. Here he writes, Ein Lecha Avdil, Ein Lecha Umnas Pchusa Miakarka. There's nothing Umnas Pchus than agriculture. And being a farmer in the eyes of Rabbi Lazar, obviously he was urban. Okay, is the idea of Avoda Sakarka. Interesting person. He was a city guy, no question about it. Okay? So Tais asked the Kasha, call Adam Shein Lo Karka Ein Adam, and then Ein Lo Pchusa El Avoda Sakarka. How does this work? And for Tais with Shein Lo Chom Nes Pchusa Afa Gavdre Beloz A Gufei Komer Lael, call Adam Shein Lo Karka Ein Adam. So Achleimer Zag Tais with Karka Livnes Olav Sheyodur Bayit. Begam l'tzayich mizaynis. Man without a place, which is his, whether it be for the house or be for mizaynis, is not a man. Now, what does that mean? So what comes to mind to me is another gemara. A gemara in Ksubis, okay? The gemara in Ksubis says as follows. Famous gemara of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, with Samach Vav Amid Beis. The Gemara says a very beautiful, very poignant story. The Gemara says, a Maisu Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, this is post-Churban, Shaya Rochev ala Chamor, was riding his donkey, Rahaya Yotzim Yerushalayim, Vayu Tamidav Malachim Acharav, and the students would follow him. Ra'a Riva Echad, he saw a young lady, she was looking for the remnants of barley. Ben Gralei Bemton Shavoyim, between the dung droppings of Arab animals, camels, whatever it only be. Kivin Shiratauto, she saw him nitatvat Zara, she covered her hair. The Amdala Fanav, she stood in front of him, the Amralo, and she said, Rebbe, Panaseni. Give me something to eat. I need food. I'm looking for remnants of barley that weren't digested well with the animals and in their dung droppings. Give me some food. And he tells her, Basmiat, who are you? And the answer is striking. She says, Bas Nagdimam Ben Gurion Ani. I'm the daughter of the richest man in Jerusalem. Amalah biti, mamon shebeis avich eichan alach. Where'd the money go? And she says, and the story goes, describes, and he says, Zocher atah shechasamta ksubasi. Do you remember you signed my ksuba? Amalah l'talmidav, Zocher ani, I remember that ksuba. Shechatamta ksubasi shezuva yizikayirban. This was the psalm of the ksuba. Elef alofim dinrei zav. That's a bit more than the ksubasi ma'amalasai. Elef alofim din rezov. In those days, a lot of money. Okay? Chutz mishal chamer. This is not talking about the father-in-law, but this is daddy. A and look what happened to her. And he said, Bachar Reb Yochanan Mezakeh Ve'omar, Ashreichem Yisrael, Bizman She'osim Ritzono She'makom, Ein Kol Umar V'Lashon Sholetet Bahem, U'Bizman She'ein Osim Ritzono She'makom, Mosran Biyad Umar Shfeila, Ve'lo Biyad Umar Shfeila, El Biyad Behem Tam Shel Umar Shfeila. Why are Vayim called Umar Shfeila? Now, this is not a political statement. You'll understand from the Rashi, but we're talking about a certain segment of society which does not relate to the overall people we're living in their neighborhood over here. Rashi says, Arvayim kri umash feila sheshochnei o'alim hem bamidbar. You don't have a house. Shochnei o'alim bamidbar. Let me tell you a story, okay, do you mind? This goes back many years ago. I was a young boy in Chevron Yeshiva. I was learning Chavrusa with one of the Rosh Yeshiva. At Saturday nights, I used to do a little Fabrenging on a mountain not far from here that was called the Aspera in those days. It was different. Okay, whatever, we won't go into the particulars. I used to go there and be with the guys. One day I'm sitting in my room learning, and one of the guys from the diaspora comes knocking on my window and says, Mendel, says, what is it? You got to come. What's the problem? Mr. X, I won't say his name, just ran away from his wife, and he went down south. He busted. He says, what do you want me to do? There's no one's going to take him out there but you. So I get it. I can't do this. So I went over to Mershiv. Mershiv says, I have to leave. Why? It's Pikuach Nefesh. Who's? Believe me. You'll come back, right? Promise. Okay, so that night we flew to Eilat. Now, can you imagine me going over on the Eilat beach at night and calling out, let's call this name Yankel. That's not his name. He's a very prominent Kiruv man today. Okay? Yankel, Yankel. Well, going to you're disturbing people on the beach there at night. No, Yankel, Yankel, Yankel. No, Yankel. Finally, we went to this place called Taba. Now, it doesn't exist now. I think it's across the border. Now, Taba had a fun village by a guy called Rafi Nelson. Now, Rafi Nelson was really something else. He was the epitome of, well, I'll tell you about his birthday. He had a birthday party where he came down a mountain there with luchos, with neon lights, but there was no lows in them. Did you ever try the luchos without the lows? They're really cool. So this is this guy. And there's no low, there's no negative. He wasn't into negatives, okay?
Only highs.
He was into positives, okay? So he had no lows, and this is some guy, you know. So he had this vacation village with a proper big piano on the beach and a bar, you know what I mean? So I said, I'm gonna go find Mr. X. So at night, I went to Taba. Got a fine note. I guess God does it. Sometimes you have to do it. So, I'm screaming, Joe, whatever his name is, I want to say his name. And lo and behold, he's there. Now, there's an interesting thing. It was like Alice in Wonderland. Like, there's this tent and a library and a piano and there's a bar. It's like, what is this place? And there was a hill there which had a Canaanite sun god on top of it. And an Egel Azor, but this is maybe the golden calf thing was, it was a crazy place. I got to get him out of here. Now, what am I doing here? I'm a nice yeshiva guy. So I said, okay, Yerotzen, I may go to hell for this, but I'm going to try and get him out of here. So I'll never forget how I said, I'm sitting with him on the beach. No place for a nice yeshiva kid. And I'm dressed and he's whatever he is, and okay, and let's just say you really needed a towel and tzitzis there, and I'm sitting there, and I just get them and says, I say, hey, X, this is crazy. And I remember brought up this Gemara and says, and I started learning this Gemara with him on the beach. Let's just say 2 days later he was back home, okay. Baruch Hashem. But I don't like to tell the story. I could really elaborate. I could really have you rolling here if I want, but I'm not going to do it. It's also the smartest barabim. But this is the first time when I read that Gemara hit me. You know, sometimes they hit you. I said, this is Shveilus. I'll tell you what I feel here in Taba. And this is going to explain what a sukkah is to me. You see, God gave us, and I once read an article from my beloved friend here on the Kedusha of time and place. I think it's printed in the Sefer Yovel over there, right? I remember that? A long time ago. So, actually there's an article by the Rav, they used to put it in the Wayu Reader, on time and place consciousness. Well, if I may translate or maybe embellish and put it here. You see, life is full of things happening. But without a framework, they never add up. And you're living dot, 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 dot. It's only with a time and place consciousness where you have the framework and even constrictions which allow the different components to add up into one. Take, example, the idea of a house. You know, if you would take the furniture of a house and put it in the yard, if you had yards here, you'd think it's a rummage sale, a moving sale. You put it in the house, then all of a sudden, the kitchen, the den, the library, the bedroom, the dining, they all add up into a concept called habitat, abode. When you think of the dream of the architect when he or she designs the house, they're not interested in the masonry, the electricity, the water, or the furniture. They have a concept of how this family is supposed to live, and how it's supposed to interact. In order to get there, you need amount of space, place, etc., light, etc. That framework is what a bias is. A bias is something which attaches and puts together different components. You know, once again, if I may take a break and to remind you, a letter that Rav Huttner once wrote to one of his students, Talmidim, Guy from Chaim Berlin, went to medical school and really felt bad about himself. Poor kid. And he says, you know, I feel I'm living a double life. Here I am. I go to learn some Torah, and then I go to medical school. He's torn. So he writes back, and Huttner writes, you know, if you live half a week in your house and half a week in your hotel, you're schizophrenic. You know, you're half a week a tourist, half a week a resident. But if you buy a big house with a lot of rooms, they all add up. You're not living a double life, you're living a broad life. And that's the idea that Putin taught him, that you've got to look at what you're doing in the broad context, in the broad picture of meaning and purpose. And then you're not living in a paradox or a dichotomy. We talk about a bias. It's very clear that we seem to be an adam, a umah, which is parasitical, which is not there, does not have a sense of time of a framework or a place of a framework. But you can walk 4 hours slowly to the bear to get yourself some water and walk back 4 hours and nothing happened. That's an umah shvela. You lack the tzuris adam, aber the tzuris adam demands. The things have to add up. And that's what I want to elaborate on, but that's clearly what it says here. Kol adam she'en lo karka equals he doesn't have a makom lebeisai. A man without a house felt in tzuris adam. And adam demands that things have to somehow add up. You can't live dot, 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 dot. You cannot live double, triple, quadruple lives, but rather broad lives. That's clearly what it says in that Gemara. For me, this means that the mitzvah of the bias of sukkah, which is teshu came to do, it's not just a mitzvah I do. That means the base dira of sukkah is magdir mitzvahs or adam of sukkahs. Just as the base dira of the base of Migdash is supposed to be magdir mitzvahs or adam of Klal Yisrael. Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be magdir my tzuras ha'odom. It's not a mitzvah that I do, it's a mitzvah which transforms me and redefines me. What is that transformation? What is that redefinition? Because that's what Sukkot really is. What does this all mean? You know, we know on Har Maria, the Gemara says in Psachim Peches, that the different Avais had different descriptions of Har Maria. Avram Korei Har, Yitzchak Korei Sada, Har Yiroa, V'yetzik Yitzchak Lasuach Basada, and Yaakov Korei Vais, Ein Zekim Beis Elokim, V'deshar Shemar. The difference of the Avos, as we know, Ramban discusses this based on Tikkuni Zayah, Ha'avos Hein Hein Amar Kava. What do these terms mean? Maybe I have to explain this a bit. You know, there's a custom based on Zohar that people have Ushpiz in. So you really think Avram's coming to eat in your sukkah? Try it. I don't want to be bad. Like, Elio hasn't drunk from my wine either. Well, maybe you did. What does it mean? What does it mean to Ushpiz and brought down in the Zohar HaKadosh? You think that do we have to put a seat for them? When I was a kid, we used to leave a seat at the table for the Jews of Russia. You know, there used to be, we used to remember the choice of our brothers in Russia. We used to have a chair, a separate chair, empty. For the Jews in Russia. So maybe I should leave a separate chair. Seven of them come. It's not just each one of the guests. He brings the whole chevra with him. You need seven extra seats in your sukkah. Have you done it? No, oh, it's a bechinas guest. I love the word. You get away with murder with that. Okay. Well, I remember when I was learning certain chachmas with one of the Rosh Yeshivas of Chaim Berlin, we had a chavrusa twice a week at night. So I made him promise two things. A, we only speak English. B, you never say the word bechina. I figured this one I'll understand what he's talking about. Now, as soon as they speak Yiddish, or they say the word Bechina, I don't know, do I get wings? What do I do? So this is, I want to know, what does this mean, this Bechina stuff with this Ushpiz? Did you ever see the Ushpiz and write, tonight is Tavra Ma? Kumbaya. What does it mean? Isn't it unbelievable? He's a redhead, by the way. Like, what do we do? What does it mean, the Ushpiz? What do these things mean? Do you know what they mean? So I guess in a nutshell, one has to put down basic ideas of Yiddishkeit. You obviously daven shachris. And the pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, L'cho Hashem ha-gedula va-givura va-tiferet va-netzach va-hod ki-chol ba-shamayim va-aretz L'cho Hashem ha-mlecha. If you notice, David HaMelech describes the Kadosh Baruch Hu in seven different attributes. Gedula, gvura, tiferet, netzach, hod, this is actually the source of what we commonly know for people who actually learn this stuff, called the seven spheros, or the seven midos, or yonos. In simple English, God's interactive profile. If we put him on a couch, and we define his interactive personality, we'll call him chesed, gvur, tiferet, netzachot, yesod, and malchus. If you ever did the Sphere Sa'omer with the funny stuff, you see the list over there, everything has like a lot of little words next to them. Chesed Shebechesed, good Shebechesed. You ever see these things? And then you roll up a rebundish something that you don't know what you're talking about. You say, Pagamti Bill, what do I do today? You know, am I supposed to feel bad? I don't know. Okay, Bill, oh, look at this. Oh, today I did this. Okay. You know, once it's one, what are you saying this for? You know what you're talking about? I mean, you're wasting time, man. You know, like, learn it. So anyway, so that is, it's very simple. God's psychological profile equals his interactive personality is cut into seven categories. I won't even describe them at the moment. But those are the names. Each one of those seven has seven subcategories. So you have 49. It was a good team. The 49ers. That's your Shmem, Tes, Sha'orim. Did you ever hear of the 49 gates? Did you ever look for them? Where are them 49 gates? The Jews were in 49 gates of Tumah. Did they have them? Like Meshurim? Where are the gates? Like, where are the gates? Where were the 49 gates? Were they sunk in the earth? Can we find them? Like, you know, like the Raiders of the Ark? Where do you get the gates? And the answer is pashut. A gate is nothing more than a medium through which you express yourself and internalize. You walk out, bring in. It's called your interactive personality. Those are your gates. Okay? It's your interactive personality. It's called your psychological profile. Your chesed, gvur, tiferes, netzachod, yisod, malchus. 7 times 7 is 49. That's what a person is. That's your 49 gates. Avos Heinein Amarkava brought down in Tikkunim and Tikkun Placer actually mean to say that these special people embodied in their personalities, in their Avos Hashem, their focus was around a certain midah of a Kaddish Baruch. And that's what they taught, and that's what they embodied, and that's what they gave us in, shall we say, in our spiritual DNA. That's what they gave down to us. With that, you know, Avraham was my father. He gave me the idea of being very, the energies of being very extroverted in my Avodas Hashem. And Yitzhak, he was a Merkava to the Midah of Gvur, which means he gave me the capability of sometimes, like, keep my mouth shut. Like, climbing up. Not jumping around like a jitterbug. Letting God do his thing. Okay, that's Yitzhak. What did Yaakov teach us? Yaakov is called the Midah of Tiferes. Beauty. You know what that is? Did you ever try to define beauty? I mean, God, if you like art, it's a very relative term. Beauty, the Dutch masters had different ideas than we do today. Plump. Look different. What is beauty? I'll tell you a story. I used to like art. Still do. So I remember I came back to Mount Yisrael the first time, and today it's different. The first time I came back to Mount Yisrael was after 2.5 years. There was no mileage, and there was no, you know, you didn't come and go. 2.5 years. I also kissed the tarmac when I landed here. No, it was a different world. We actually, it was special. It was small and beautiful. So I remember after 2.5 years, I came home. It says, I dropped my suitcase, and it says, Mom, I want to go to the Art Institute, Michigan Avenue in Chicago. They're great. I haven't seen this for ages. You know, there was not even an Israel Museum in there. It's just wrong. It was a small place. If you ran too fast, you hit the Jordanian border in Jerusalem. I mean, I can tell you, if you spit, you can hit a soldier. You know, it was very small here. You have to have, there was one street light in the whole city at the corner of Yafo King George. Ha Ramzor, and Yevgoshetcha Ba Ramzor. There was only one. I mean, this is really like Harrisburg. I don't know, like small. You know, like this was like a shtetl. It was beautiful. They sold ice blocks on the street because there were no fridges. It was unbelievable. You sold milk. This guy came with pitchers. It was great. I thought I was going back to Grodno or something, you know, going to my father's old school, you know, back to the time machine without Haley. So basically, I need some water. So I remember going to the, so I wanted to see the museum. I walk in the museum, and I see a canvas, which I was befuddled. I was really taken aback. And it was like black. This is a black canvas. So I start studying this canvas. Now, what the oomph is this doing here? It's just a black canvas. I know black is beautiful, but that was... Sorry! I mean, there's nothing here. So I figured it's got to be on the wall here. And you know, the curator's alarmed. He knows he's doing. So I got to figure out this picture. Are you aware of the infinite shades of black? And I don't mean in society. I mean the infinite shades of black. I suddenly looked at that canvas, and it was the most beautiful thing I ever saw. The beautiful merging of infinite shades of black into one. It was frightening. It was a piece of genius. Do you know any music? Do you know Bolero by Ravel? No. Well, then you want to understand the mashal. We're talking about quarter notes changes, very small and gradual. You know what beauty is? Is the harmonious merging of different shapes, colors, into one. That's what beauty is. When the different shapes or colors or notes merge harmoniously into one, that's beauty. When when the nose fits with the cheeks and the cheeks fit with the ears, and there's a certain... Now, to other people, the word harmonious can mean different things, right? I don't know. Whatever. But that's not the Agdora. The Agdora is Hamizug, harmony, Ben Hagvanim Varivadim. That's what beauty is. Yaakov Avinu is the Merkava, the meat of Tiferes, which means to say he's the person that taught us the capability of merging so many different things into one. Having so many different children, and you're going to read about them, come simplest Torah. They are so different. And yet they were capable of saying, Kishem she'em belibcha ela echad, kach en belibenu ela echad. A gemara m'sachim. The capability of transcending the externalities and looking for in a broad conceptual reality where everything is a part of the great one. Yaakov Korolei Bayis. Yaakov is the one which teaches us that the Beis Hamikdash is not just a place for Mida A or Mida B, whether it's Chesed or Gevurah. No. That's not what this is. For that could be a Sadeh, or that could be a Har, depending on how you see things. Are you looking for mountains to climb? You can be the extrovert. If you want a plateau to relax and cultivate, that's Yitzchak's Gevurah. The all-encompassing, taking the different furnitures and different colors and making them into one, that's a bias. Yaakov Korolei Bayis, and this is Midas HaTiferes. You know, it says in Zohar Kodesh and Tikkunim, Moshe Milagav Yaakov Milabar. In order to attain the externality of Tiferes, you have to have the das of Moshe. You see, what does it take to be able to see the big picture and therefore how everything fits? A very broad perspective of life. You have to be able to see how all the different components can add up into one reality. I'll give you an example. You probably go by bus stops. And did you ever see they have these like these big pictures? And you look very closely, there are little dots with their pigmentation being slightly different. From far, they look like one. But you get very close, there are thousands of little circles. Pixels, right? That's what they call it, I think. But if you have the broad perspective, you see a big picture. If you look too close at the pratim, all you see is dot, 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 dot. There's a certain perspective of das, v'das rechava, v'das kolelas, a broad understanding of what things are, which basically is all-encompassing, which basically allows you to see the broad picture. This is the Beis Hamikdash of Yaakov Avinu, the Bayis. You know, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, is it going here?
Yeah.
You know, I have my phones. I have a 5 year old. Oh. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Yudah ben Tema Aimer Va'azka Nemer Kal Kineshi Ratzki Tzvira Gibber Ka'ari La'sos Ritzon Avichas Roshamayim. Who are you, Omer? Az Panim L'Gehenim, if you're brass, chutzpedik, you're going to hell. Baishas Panim, oh, you're going to paradise. Obviously, it needs to be understood for itself. I know a lot of Az Panim, which I don't think that they're going to go to hell. And I know I see a lot of Baishas Panim, which you got a feeling they will go to hell. So we got to figure out the Mishnah. But then the Mishnah ends with something which is funny. Yiratzen Shibana Beis Amishim Herbi Amenu B'techa kena b'toratecha. And every book on Pirkei Avos asks the question, what you doing here? And they all have enormous amount of speeches. You know, the Gra's Yard site was this week. Baruch Hashem, we had the Gra. And the Gra writes on this, Torah Sefer. Good man. V'tzorach li'ais b'sefer perik k'mo shekosati l'mato. It's a typo. Wrong place. This is supposed to be at the end, and let me explain why, then I'll read it inside. He says, basically, there are two Masechtas which end with Yibane Beis HaMikdash. One is Masechtas Talmud, which makes sense. He's talking about all the halachas of Aveda. So you say, Yiratan Shi Yibane Beis HaMikdash. He says, Pirkei Avos is also supposed to end that way. And we all know that the end of the fifth Perek, that's the end of the Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos. The sixth Perek is already Braises. So the Masechta ended, and we finish it with Yiran and Reis HaMikdash. Why? Something good, I want to read this to you. Yiratzon Shibane Bet HaMikdash V'chem B'sof Tamid V'kan L'fi Sh'u Klal HaTorah. Moshe Kibel Torah V'en Torah B'lo Bet HaMikdash K'mo Shiketuv Malkah V'Sareah B'Goyim En Torah. אמר ירצון שיבנה ותן חכנו בתורתך כמו שנאמר ומלאה הארץ דעת השם כמים לים מכסים. In simple English, or Ashkenazis, which one you prefer, the Gra seems to be saying, well, let me put it this way, you know, people, do you really think when you say like, I don't know what, who are your Omers, Yag L'Chach Mashtika? You don't really think that this was a relay race of history and Moses said Siag L'Chach Mashtika and this guy decided to repeat it. You don't think that's the chat in the Mishnah, I hope. You don't think that's Mamush and Moses heard in Sinai. You don't think so, right? Do you? You gotta tell me, it's not true. Like, where's all this? Is it a pasuk? No. So what is this? What is Pirkei Avos? What are these morals and ethics and good advice that our sages are teaching us? This Yosher V'Toyev that they're teaching us. I mean, what is Pirkei Avos? Where's it from? The answer is, the Gra calls it Klal HaTorah. And this is what we lose in Golus, and can only have an answer through. What did we lose in Golus? Let me tell you what we lost in Golus. We definitely didn't lose Shas in Golus because it was created in Golus. Machshakim or Shivanikim say Elam Zet Talmud Bavli. Mate, if I would just look for Torah Eretz Yisrael, the Yerushalmi is very sweet, but the sugyas are small. Easy see him, man. This is garnished. I mean, I'm a chaya. You know, you feel good about yourself. They're small. You know, these, do you ever learn Yerushalmi? I mean, it's very nice. One guy says something, oh, that's nice, and it's over. You learn Bavli, they all let you talk. I remember beginning with Bukama, the Gemara, the Kasha, Shavit Kesef, Yashiv, how does it fit with Meita? And this is what? This is Daf Hey, Vav, and they go on, and Daf Tes, Rav Huna says something, and the Rishonim says, now they finally let him finish his question. They're dashing away there for three pages to find a woman. This is an aggressive bunch of people. The Gemara says in Psachim, I'll tell you this one. The Gemara says, this about pets easier. The Gemara says in Psachim, Shlesha Sainim Haim. You want to know who hates each other? Brace yourself. Zainais, Klavim, V'af Tamid Chacham Yishev B'Bavel. Nice company. Between the ladies and the dogs, they put us there. Now what you doing there? Bad company. They're partially Gemara, it's often the Gemara. So the morale in the Sefer Torah explains what it means. He says, you know, there are people which are very protective of their space, and I imagine, I'm not a dog, but I imagine they're protective of their space. I know lions do something, I guess dogs do too. The ladies there, obviously, they need their space for whatever. They're protected. They're very shiny. And Tamidei Chachamim Shemabobo, because they're big Balai Seichel. And they have enormous kanos for the intelligence of truth. They don't take prisoners. And until they find the truth, they'll bite. Gemara says in Kedushi, Vahe Vasufa, Afilu Avu Bno Ravu Talmido, Kishaoskim Betur Nasim, Oibim Zelazeh. Veinam Zazim Misham Achinasim, Oavim Zelazeh. Because if what you're looking for is not your ego, but for the truth. If this guy says a krimis gotten a taisvis, that's terrible. I always tell my students, I learned chavus with a certain reshiv, Zechon Levracha, my Rebbe. I once said something bad. He says, why are you saying Lashon Hara to my mother? He says, I don't know your mother. He says, the taisvis is my mother. And what you just said is Lashon Hara. Does it shot? It's Lashon Hara. But that's the way you learn. Tamidei Chacham Shebavo, the Avos HaSeichel HaEmes makes them very critical. But as soon as the truth is there, whether I said it, you said it, then we're the best friends and we love each other. So the morale says that's why the Halacha is like Bavli, not like Yerushalmi. Because they were so hot. The sugyos are very big. And all of a sudden the Halacha is Mizbaro Kisimla. So this happened in Bavel, man. I mean, the Yerushalmi, it's a small book. What's Baba coming? Yerushalmi, so you blow your nose and you finish it. So what did you miss in Dallas? Like the Rajma wasn't exactly born in, you know, in Pekin. And the Ramban, he was in Spain. I mean, what would we do to Reb Chaim, right? Or Dr. Pchivega, what would I have pronounced without a Rambam? You know what I mean? What are you going to do? So what did you lose in Golis? Did you ever wonder? And the answer is a double push of what you lost in Golis. What the Gra calls Klal HaTaira. What Klal HaTaira is? I repeat, where do you think the Avos, Pirkei Avos was got from? You really think it was a real race that, oh, there was this big Messiah, and everyone decided to say one sentence of it. So why doesn't one guy say the whole freaking thing and get it done with? You really think that what it was? I mean, and I'm Orthodox, but this not shot. That's Lashon Hara. So the shot. You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. Pasuk says, Shmais, Shmais, Shmais. Gracious. Where's Shmais? There's Shmais. There's Shmais. There's Shmais. Pasuk says by Mara, Parshas Bishalach, Pasuk says, Vayomer im shamar tishma l'kol Hashem elokecha, Vayashor be'inov ta'aseh, Vazantav l'mitzvotav, V'shamat et kol chukav, you'll have a healthy life. So the idea is we're supposed to be shomea likol Hashem elokecha and hazana lemitzvot. What does the shmo likol Hashem v'hazin lamitzvot? So the Ibn Ezra, as the Ramban brings him and agrees with him, whenever it says bi or likol, it does not mean listen to the words. It means listen to what the words have to say. I'll give you an example in halacha. Shulchan Aruch says that you make a bracha on shofar, so the Magen Avraham points out, basically it's a taz, a bach, which points out, we do not say l'shmoya bikol shofar, we say l'shmoya kol shofar. And the Magen Avraham says, because Shmuel Bikol Shofar, you have to listen to what he has to say. He's not saying anything to me. It's a Bach. But everyone knows it's an Aguda, and the Rav Yoh don't say that way. Rav Yoh, ahead, you're right, and you say, Shmuel Bikol Shofar. Shetachit an Aguda. Chachmei Germania. They say, Shmuel Bikol Shofar. Sets a chais to the Aguda and the Rav Yoh understand that the mitzvah of Shofar is not just to hear the sounds, but to hear what the sounds have to say. What does the Shofar have to tell you is what we're looking for, and that the Nusach HaBracha, the Shema Bekar Shofar. Some of the inferences to the Rambam and Hilchos Teshuva of whatever Shofar is supposed to be telling you. So when the Ibn Ezra says that there's a mitzvah lishmoya likoy l'Hashem v'azono l'mitzvaysov zog the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, means man must be able to understand the big picture of halacha. What is it telling you? What is the value system? Ramban refers to what he says in Parshas V'Eschana, and it's late, so I'm going to do so about that. There's a mitzvah of asisa es hayoshar v'es hatayf. Yeah, do things that you're right. I tell you, it's not enough to be observant, Ramban says. Lechorva Yerushalayim el shemina divrei maldivrei Torah. Ramban in Kitashim says, you can be a novel of Rishusa Torah. I remember once Ramban said a drush, he says he was blown away by these cruises with an OU Hechsher, hedonistic orthodoxy. I still remember going, coming back once from Israel, and I saw this ad in the Jewish press, there was going to be a hot Purim party, OU Hechsher, in a nightclub in the Greenwich Village. I mean, come on! I mean, you want to do it, why go kosher? You know what I mean? Not from a Hechsher for this. So the Ramban describes novel versus a Torah. Ramban says, you know what Yosher and Taif is? I just want to tell you what it means. He says, actually, speaking softly in the street, personal hygiene. Small examples. If you don't, being gluttonous, now materialistic, these are basic values of Kedashim Tiyu, Masisa Sa Yosher Vesa Taif. The idea of, you know, hey, that's the din, but find compromise. Is the halacha of asisas or yosher as a type? And the Ramban says, how are you going to find where yosher and type is? Why do you know what it is? So in simple language, she says one thing. You basically do bi'iyun, all the halachas of an adam l'malkan. You distill it into ideas, develop meta-halachic principles, translate that into a philosophy of the law, and you'll know what Kedusha is. And that will include, would you believe it, personal hygiene and good manners. And not... You ever see these people in the restaurant, as you know, in Prime Grill, where you think their faces is a steak? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, that's Kedushim Tiyu. That's wrong. That's called a Novel Bershus HaTaira. Or a person who screams in the street or acts like, you know, or he's just not, isn't that right? You know, did you ever be all these guys with the shtick? It may fit in Cheshemishbot, but it's not Yashar. Gavra Rabba once told me, Zichron Levracha, the Galach zu sein Frum, i.e. dav sein Ehrlich. Let the priest be religious. A Jew has to be honest and straight. Yosher, Yosher. But how do you know what Yosher is? So the Ramban, you got to learn all of B'Adam L'Chaveri B'Yun, distill it into ideas, create meta-halachic principles, develop a philosophy of the law, and you'll know. It's called getting the broad picture. It's called developing a broad perspective of. And then you will understand Yosher and Taif. It's called Klal HaTaira. It's called listening to what the halachas have to tell you. The Hazenta L'mitzvaysav. L'shmoya L'koil Hashem. So to Ramban, and I'll be marchiv this in Parshas V'Eschana when I get to Vasisav as a Yosher V'Eschana. That's called Klal HaTaira. You know what we lost in Gullus? The biggest tragedy of Gullus is that we are Westerners with Western sensitivities and Western values of the Mosaic faith, and we are observant in our religion. But religion has become nothing more than a Torah is nothing more than a religion. Oh, spiritual, whatever that means. But it is not your cultural perspective. It's not the way you see things. It's not what that you feel. It's not. You are so far from it that it is mind-boggling. What Torah takes as a given of a natural reaction to things for us sounds like weird. I told the guys in Kiryat Yavne, you know, once, you know, I was in Baltimore and I got on the train back to New York. And you figure you have like these 2.5 hours of finally peace and quiet. And I got on the bus, as soon as I got on the train, is your name Rabbi Blachman? Says, I want to say my name Schwartz. Believe me, I just want to get out of this one. Says, yes. So then I put on my smile. That's what the Brisa says, every believer, if it's a losay alpanov. So here I am. And I says, yes, how can I help you? Basically, the guy was marketing trailers. And he figures I'll be a good billboard. Right, if I put on trailers. Oh, other people go to trailers. He'll make a killing. And I get my yearly supply. So I feel I'm going to heaven, and the other guys are going to get sucked. And he's got himself a killing. Very important. He wants to be mezakeh the world of trailers. I'm with him. So I'm supposed to get out of this. So I said, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I got a problem with trailers. It doesn't work for me. He says, what do you mean? Says, but you'll talk to me after this. He says, yeah, but you promised me you'll talk to me. Says, you know, me, it just doesn't work for me. Says, what do you mean? Well, it says Tcheles Demer LeYam. And Yam Demer LeRakia. Rakia Demer LeKisei HaKavod. I says, I'm sorry, when I see blue, maybe I think about the beach, but I'm even thinking about the water on the beach. And if I get to the water, I don't think I'm thinking about the sky. And even when I see the sky, I promise you, I don't see Kisei HaKavod. So what am I going to do? It's just not working for me. My brain's warped. So he understood I wanted to get away from me. So I had a quiet trip. But what I brought up is the truth. And I want to know anybody in this room, when I say the word beach, you think about the water. And when you say water, when's the last time you thought about the sky? How many times have you looked at the sky and thought of Kisei HaKavod? And tzitzis takes for granted that that's your cultural reality. You're not even commanding that. That's obviously. I just got to get you to do the blue thing. Once you get the blue, the Kisei HaKavod will be a natural reality. Where am I and where's that? Light years. Light years. Where am I and where's that cultural reality? How far is that? What did God take for granted I'm supposed to be? And where am I? You know, the Rambam writes, how did they start a Avodah Zarah? They looked up at the sun and they realized that if God placed it higher than earth, at least in their expression, it means God wants us to honor them. Did you ever have that problem? Did you, oh, God put the sun up. I didn't think of that, you know. Fuck, man. And obviously, since it has a certain perspective, it means it's higher than me. Interesting. I know what it means. Did you ever think that way? So these sinners are really very special. They had culturally, they were much closer to what God expects us to look at things like. That's the tragedy of Golus. We have not lost Pirtei HaTorah. We did very well in Pirtei HaTorah. Baruch Hashem, Rashba, Ritva, Ramban. You know, what could I do? Wow, great. I'm in the Chumashim above the whole thing. Wow, Machaya. All the Birchus HaTorah is Golus. Klal HaTorah. When a nation is uprooted from its natural habitat, Malka Visarea Bagoyim, her national identity is destroyed, and she now must assimilate within other cultures. She loses her own natural perspective, and what's left is the empty shard of Pirtei HaTorah without building that broad perspective, which will encompass everything, and then they're walking around living double lives and don't have the capability of a broad life. And that's the churban of Golus. Pirkei Avos, you think that there's one box of information each time I decide to say one sentence. Kishem, shame, patsofem, shavos, kachin, deresem, shavos. My babakam is not his, and definitely Rav Hunas wasn't Rav Ashi's. And each Tana distilled Torah in his way and found this was the Hu HaYa'im, but this was the model which really took him in his distillation, in his Klal HaTorah, and that's your Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos is the distillation of the Klal HaTorah through generations, of different people experiencing Torah in that broad perspective. Klal HaTorah. So the Gros says, we say, Malka v'sarea b'agoyim ein Torah, we miss it. Yiratzen sheyabana beis hamigdash v'mheir b'yameinu. V'sein chalkeinu b'sarasecha, so that the Gros, mola or das Hashem, means it won't get more Baba Kama. We'll get the Klal HaTorah of the broad perspective, how everything will add up into a broad value system. That's what you're looking for. Beis HaMikdash is not just a private place. Anyone knows Rambam knows. The Rambam describes that what is the Beis HaMikdash? He says, Mitzvah Livnes Bayis LaHashem, which everyone knows based on the Mari Nevuchim in the third volume, Perek Mem Hei. It means to have a bayis within Oren and a Luchas to meditate on the basic fundaments of your faith. With the source, everybody knows that they sefed in the 13th Perek of Zvachim, that a bias without an oren is called a bamagdala, it's not called a migdash. So mitzvah livnes bayis l'Hashem, to have a place to meditate on your migdash, on your luchais, and then muchen l'hakim v'akabon, to translate those meditations into practical avodas Hashem. But then he adds another part of the definition of what it's for. V'chagigim elav shalish pamim bashana. Aliyah L'Regel is not a prat in the Avodah, that is a tachlis of the bayis. You know what that means? We take away Migdash from just being a private place where I meet my maker into a national experience. Do you know what it is for a nation to be on the move thrice yearly? The Migdash experience becomes a focal point of their existence. That mukim bayis la'Hashem, that place to meditate on the fundaments of reality and translating it into broad Avodah, that Ria Kolelus of the bayis, that becomes natural national culture. We lost that big time. It's because of that I am not comfortable with Kerbanis. Because of that I feel irksome about Mechias HaMalek. It's because that there's a lot of stuff that gets under my skin. And whoever isn't irksome about killing a two-day-old baby because he's an Amalekite, let him stand up. And then he does need your doctor. Obviously, we are far. We lack the broad Jewish perspective of translating the different Pirtei of Torah into a Ria Kolelet, into Tiferes. The person who is in search, this is Migdash. So it's interesting how the Gra correlates Malka v'Sarea Bagoyim, the fact that the nation's national offices is dispersed, Melech v'Sarim, is parallel to the fact that I don't have a Migdash. Yiratan Shibana v'Samish equals Malka v'Sarea b'Eretz Yisrael. For they are all one. We are looking at that which will bring back our basic perspective, our perception of reality, our cultural background. What makes me feel what about what? What's my perspective, my paradigm? That's what you're missing. That's what Migdash does to us. That's what Malka v'Sarea does. That's what Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is all about. And that's what we're missing. We're missing. We're just from, and we're Shomer Mitzvos, but culturally we've assimilated, and there's so much to go for, and that's what you dream about, and that's what you hope, and that's painful, but you really do want to be able to do this. So when you think about destruction of a temple, think of the fact that you don't feel comfortable with certain parts, or you don't even have the basic sensitivities that God expected to have. That's a churban to any aspirant in Avodas Hashem can be very and should be devastating. And that's what Sukkos is all about. Sukkos is about, you know, we read Koheles. What's Koheles all about? Koheles is the earlier Siddhartha. It's the seeker looking how things that seem to be important don't add up. Wisdom is important, but where does it get me? This is important, but it ends up nothing. He basically experiments, goes from place to place. He's an unbelievable person, this Koheles. Experiments, if we take it the way, if you read your Meir Rama's Pirush, and you'll see it, about seven personalities. If you ever read Hermann Hesse's Siddhartha, you'll understand this better. About the human being running and searching because he needs a truth that will add up. And he goes through different phases in life. It reminds me of Yisra'isha, Avad Kalavay Dezorisha Ba'olam, until he found God. A true searcher of meaning, like, how does this thing add up? No, they tell me learn wisdom. But at the end of the day, the safe of the idiot and the chacham of the same, we end up in the same box. Here he says, right? Some little fool shows the way to the door of the entrance, and this guy's been working hard on it. He really has a hard time, Koheles. It's an interesting book. It's very appropriate that it's in Sukkos. And he ends finally, you know, it gets so bad, the Gemara says in Shabbos, they wanted to can this book. Because, you know, questions, the Yotzer Chippus, the non-perfect experience, can that be part of the official canon? Are you kidding? Aren't you all born for perfection, born in cotton wool, and you're all Mitsuyanim? And Rabbi Gamaliel, which wanted perfect students, and when he saw the regular people going into the Beis Medrash, he called them Tadim Mleim Kitra, off paper, Mleim Brachas Kavches. He did not want Kisvei HaKodesh to be part of Kisvei HaKodesh. You know when Koheles came to Kisvei HaKodesh? The day that they bounced Rabbi Gamaliel and put in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The day when they opened up the Beis Medrash to the imperfect student, to the student which Rabbi Gamaliel saw were Kadim Mleya Eifer. Ein Teichem Kebarim. The poor guy, he just walked out of whatever high school you choose. Don't want to check anybody. You know what I mean? Yeah, the imperfect fellow. That's the guy who walked in. And that day they said, you know what? The search of the imperfect, even the experiential reality, is also part of the canon and becomes Kisvei HaKodesh and Mitamas HaYadai. You know why? Because it ends right. Because if you're really in search for meaning, you find it at the end. Sof Davar Kol Nishma. Elokim Yireh Mitzvotav Shmo V'zeh Kol Adam. That explains B'shach Mocha V'kum Mocha V'lach Tocha V'derech. That the famous Ramban in Ekev Man V'Dovka Ba, that you have a broad perspective, even going to sleep, is part of standing in front of a Shmarchu. You see the broad Kedoshim to you, you see the broad Vasis, you see the Riyat Kolelet. You don't live double lives, you learn to build a broad life. Riyat Kolelet is what we're missing. Riyat Kolelet is the base of Migdosh. Riyat Kolelet is what Koheles was looking for. Finally found it. Had to roll a lot, let me tell you. Really roll a lot. Go through a lot. If we're going to take the Brekim literally, he went through a lot. If we take it metaphorically, that means consciously in your mind a lot is happening. But whatever it is, that's not a lie. He's describing bona fide feelings, at least psychological experiences, if not tangible experiences. That's Koheles. Kohelet, the name of this seeker is called Adam. Here's where I'm going to tie this all up. Mayitron la'adam b'chol amolo she'amol tachet ha'shemesh. The word Adam, Sfornus says, means he who has Tehu Elokim. What's worthwhile for him in this world? Somehow translates Adam as Tzelem Elokim. Famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, is obviously where he's coming from. Everyone knows the famous Maharal in Netzach Yisrael in the 11th and the 14th Perek. If you don't know now, you do. Where he elaborates that this means Am Yisrael, which have the Tzelem B'Shleimus. Too deep, and don't have the time to talk about it, but there's another teacher in right now, so I got to stop. We're talking about a... Why is he called Adam? What's so special about Adam? The Gemara says in Yevamos, interesting, by Tumas Oil, Atem Kruim Adam Ve'en Umas Oilem Kruim Adam. Memory of Shimba Yuchai. Person died, so Tumas Maga is even by a guy. But Tumas Oil, his makim, only by a Jew. Interesting. What does it mean? So, in a very short version, I want to tell you, Adam is called Adam because of two reasons. Adam's called Adam because he comes from the earth. That's a Gemara in Chulin, basically. And the Gemara says in Kufla Mites, the Gemara says, what happens if you find, you know, the din of Kansipur, right? If you find a bird's nest, throw away the mom. So what happens if you find it on someone's head? It's like the hats and ascot races. What can I tell you? Well, you have these, they have pigeons on their heads and fruit baskets on their heads. So, you know what I mean? You found a pigeon's nest on someone's head. What's the din as far as a shliach kansi? It's a very interesting Gemara. So, is it called on the earth? Well, it says, yes, it's a pasuk, v'ha'adama arosho. Look, Rashi, what's the pshat? One thing's called adama, when it's on its face. As soon as you take the soil and you uproot it, it's called afar. And the fact that it's called adama on the head of man equals, I went in Yiddish, du bist ein Stück adama. In Yiddish, it sounds better. You're adama. You are be'essen adama. Therefore, earth on your head is not uprooted from its source. Up in the Gemara, we bask him that way. You are a Dhamma. What does that mean? You're growing potatoes? Maybe in your ears. Tertius is a Dhamma, Mother Earth, is the source of all potential and growth. That's what it is. We look at earth, we look at potential and growth. Everything comes from there. Everything goes back there too. That's what it is. As long as there's potential and growth, it's called Adama. When you tear it away from there, it's just called Ofer. You know, the dirt that comes into your porch, that's Ofer. As long as it's at its base, there's the potential of growth. That's Adama. Adam is called Adam, basically. I think about it as Adama. But there's another reason why Adam is called Adam, and the Nitziv brings this actually in the beginning of Bereishis. He says it's something interesting. He says, Nasa Adam. It doesn't say we called him a name. Only after he sinned and got kicked out of paradise, in Perek Hay, it says, Vayikra Shmoy Adam. Why didn't it say Vayikra Shmoy Adam in Bereishis Aleph? Base! Tziv says it's very simple. Though a man was perfect, a man saw reality the way it really is, and he experienced everything in context of Metzius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He looked at his body, and he saw a merkava of Shechina. He did not get dressed Do you dress your nose? Every part of me is a kli for Ashuras Hashchina. There's no difference between this hand and any other aver. There's nothing to get dressed for. It's only after man fell away from that perspective and created imagination where all of a sudden different organs have different symbolisms and meanings and excitement comes in and you got to find the luchos of tznius. Rambam defines it. He walked away from the objective world of truth and entered the subjective reality of tov v'ra. When man fell, he needs a reason to be called Adam. But what was the primary reason? You know what the Tzif says? He quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Adamen la'elyon. Yudalad, yudalad. Yes, man can really be godly. He can reflect God, meaning, purpose. That was Adam's primary state. Tzelem Elokim, the most beautiful way possible, where he looks for the idea behind things and sees it in totality. There's no place for imagination. He sees the stark truth of meaning and purpose. He has his North Star in front of his eyes. But Adam fell and went into the realm of imagination, subjective existence. Now we have to know, why is he called anything? And the answer is because he's got potential. He's got potential. Nishmis Yisrael have the potential of her coming back to Adama La'elyon. We can walk away from subjective experiential life and start actually looking the truth in its eyes. Walking away from Tov Ra and going back to Emes and Sheker. I'm quoting a Meir Nevuchim Chelik Aleph Peg Beis. That's your potential. Your Adama, you can become Adama La'elyon. The searcher of Koheles is the man looking for the Shleimas Tzuras HaAdam. He wants to take his Adama and see how everything adds up into one, into Adama LaElyon. That's your Adam of Sukkos. That's your Adam of Koheles. That's your Adam of Mikdosh. And that's your Adam of Eretz Yisrael. Malka v'sareha be'eretz Yisrael, yesh Torah. Migdash is the bias. Sukkah is the agilui shechina of the ritzui that we will be able to see Adam Elyon. That's what I miss in Sukkos. That's what I think we still have till tomorrow evening. Somehow look for that. At least take from here further. You got to live broad lives. It means to say you have to take the Torah. It's a long business, man. And believe me, you can't do it with four chakiris and 20 bloody gemara. You start doing it then, you're dangerous. You're also stupid. Incompetent fool. Yeah. It means to say what I said. It means distilling the mass of Ben Adam L'Chaveiroi, creating meta-halachic principles, ultimately a philosophy of the law, and finding out that cloud. It means distilling the mass of all the halachos of Torah Shebaal Peh, Ben Adam L'Makom, those meta-halachic principles, that philosophy of the law, and getting there. So you got your work cut out for you. Okay? And it never ends. It really does never end. If there are great people, and those are the great Avos HaOlam, if there is a Gavur Rabba, if there is a definition for the term Gavur Rabba, it's the person who finally has Riyah Kolelet. I think they call it in the political world Das Torah, but I don't know what that means. I know the Gro. To see Klal HaTorah, that's Midas HaTiferes. The great people who see and have experienced through their learning. And each one is different, just like the Avos HaOlam Pirkei Avos. There's not one way of doing anything. There's not one perspective. It's impossible because we are different people at Geshem Sheim Patsufayim Shavos. Kach Ein Deyoseim Shavos. And the Klal HaTorah comes from my Das. But you always should look for those people who strive and try to learn the broad Riyah Kulalos. This is Yiratzen Shibana Beis Amigdash from Herbi Amenu, B'Sein Chalkeinu, B'Sir Sach, have a good Yom Tov.
Well, Lachman, I have a short snack now. I want to thank the director of the yeshiva, Mati Jerby, who brought a special exterminator for the bees in the middle of the night. The bees are being exterminated as we speak. Those who didn't have in Marib, there will be a meeting.